Would you take the Word of God with me and turn in the Gospel of John and chapter 20. John chapter 20. We will be reading in just a moment the account of the resurrection from one person's perspective. And that person, as we'll see in just a moment, is Mary Magdalene. Before we read the account of her witness of the resurrection, we ask the question, well, what do we know about Mary Magdalene? Who is this woman? While Jesus was traveling throughout Galilee, he met Mary Magdalene. You can read about it in Luke chapter 8, and it was out of her, if you remember, that Jesus had cast out seven devils. From that day onward, Mary Magdalene demonstrated her gratitude towards the Lord Jesus, and the Bible says she ministered unto him of her substance. So evidently she has some type of wealth or substance that she gave to the Lord and to the ministry of the Lord. This woman, in other words, dedicated her life as a faithful servant of Jesus Christ. We do not actually see Mary Magdalene frequently mentioned during the ministry of Jesus Christ. However, Mary Magdalene was there when Jesus died on the cross. In John 19:25, Scripture says, "Now there stood by the cross of Jesus his mother and his mother's sister, Mary the wife of Cleophas, and Mary Magdalene." She witnessed the agonizing death of the one who had gloriously changed her life. She heard of the unjust mockery of the soldiers. She heard the lies that were told about the one that she knew spoke the truth. She was there when Jesus Christ took his last breath and gave up the ghost. We also see that Mary Magdalene followed Joseph of Arimathea to the place of the sepulcher. If you remember, Joseph of Arimathea had requested that he could take the body of Jesus Christ. She saw when his body was taken down from the cross. She saw the body that had been so marred that he was unrecognizable. She followed as the lifeless body of her Savior was carried to the tomb. She sat there against the sepulcher. The Bible says in Matthew 27:61, "And there was Mary Magdalene and the other Mary sitting over against the sepulcher." She even saw where the body of Jesus was laid, and she even saw how his body was laid. Mark 15:47 says, "And Mary Magdalene and Mary the mother of Joseph beheld where he was laid." Luke 23:55 says, "And the women also which came with him from Galilee followed after and beheld the sepulchre and how his body was laid." Can you imagine those last torturous moments after the death of Christ to see the body of Jesus Christ laid in the tomb and how his body was laid? The details of his death and his burial are all clear in the mind of Mary Magdalene. She even knows details that we are not privy to. We only know what the Scripture tells us. But she was there. And it is the resurrection account of this woman that I would like to consider on this Resurrection Sunday. This account is significant because it is to this woman, Mary Magdalene, that Jesus Christ first appeared as the resurrected Lord and Savior. And so let's read that account. Would you stand with me as we begin reading in John chapter 20? We will read verse 1 and 2, And then go down to verse 11 and read through verse 18. The Word of God says, "The first day of the week cometh Mary Magdalene early, when it was yet dark, unto the sepulchre, and seeth the stone taken away from the sepulchre. Then she runneth, and cometh to Simon Peter and to the other disciples, the disciple whom Jesus loved, and saith unto them, They have taken away the Lord out of the sepulchre, and we know not where they have laid him." After this, verse 3 through 10, Peter and John both run to the sepulchre. Evidently, Mary returns following Peter and John. The Bible tells us in the account of Luke that they were running. So Mary couldn't probably keep up with their running, but she showed up at the sepulchre. Notice verse 11. "But Mary stood without at the sepulchre weeping. And as she wept, she stooped down and looked into the sepulchre, and seeth two angels in white sitting, the one at the head and the other at the feet." In other words, remember, she knew where his body was laid. She knew how he was laid. So she knew where they were sitting, where the body of Jesus had lain. "And they say unto her, Woman, why weepest thou? She saith unto them, Because they have taken away my Lord, and I know not where they have laid him. And when she had thus said, she turned herself back and saw Jesus standing, and knew not that it was Jesus. Jesus saith unto her, Woman, why weepest thou? Whom seekest thou? She, supposing him to be the gardener, saith unto him, Sir, if thou have borne him hence, tell me where thou hast laid him, and I will take him away. Jesus saith unto her, Mary. She turned herself and saith unto him, Rabboni, which is to say, Master. Jesus saith unto her, Touch me not, for I am not yet ascended to my Father, but I go to my Father and say unto them, I ascend unto my Father and your Father, and to my God and your God. Mary Magdalene came and told the disciples that she had seen the Lord, and that he had spoken these things unto her." Let's pray. Father, we thank you this morning. We rejoice in the resurrection. And Lord, as we look at this account of the first witness of the resurrection, Lord, stir our hearts to see what made a difference in the life of Mary, that it might make the difference in our lives. And we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. We did not read it in this portion, but according to Mark chapter 16, verse 9, Mary Magdalene was the first to see the resurrected Christ. She was the first, think about it, to speak of the resurrected Christ. She was also the first to whom the resurrected Christ spoke. She was also the first to be given an assignment by the resurrected Christ. The event of the resurrection is, we know, of great magnitude to the Christian faith. We preach the message of the gospel. We read it this morning in Sunday school in 1 Corinthians 15, 1 through 11, that the gospel that Paul preached was that Jesus Christ died according to the scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again on the third day according to the scriptures. And so the gospel itself is the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. And without the resurrection of Jesus Christ, Christianity really has no life-changing message. Paul, by inspiration of the Holy Ghost, declares such to be the case. In 1 Corinthians 15, 12 and 14, he says, "Now, if Christ be preached that he rose from the dead, how say some among you that there is no resurrection of the dead? But if there be no resurrection of the dead, then is Christ not risen. And if Christ be not risen, then is our preaching vain, and your faith is also vain. Verse 17 says, and if Christ be not raised, your faith is vain, and ye are yet in your sins. Now think about the magnitude that Paul, as he speaks of the resurrection, of the magnitude of the resurrection. If there is no resurrection, then the preaching is vain. If there is no resurrection, then our faith is vain. If there is no resurrection, then we are yet in our sins. And so the resurrection is very significant. So, oh, the wonder, considering the magnitude of such an event, that Jesus Christ would first show himself as resurrected to Mary Magdalene. Jesus did not appear to the Sanhedrin Council, the religious authorities of the day. Jesus did not appear to the Roman rulers, the judicial authorities of the day. He did not appear to the powerful, to the well-known, or to the well-connected. Jesus first appeared to a lowly woman that had served him the moment that Jesus Christ had cast out seven devils from her. That's who Jesus Christ first appeared to. And so the question may be asked, well, why? Why Mary Magdalene? And I can't answer the question why. The scripture does not tell us why. It only tells us that it happened. However, I do take note, and we may take note of the pattern that we find in both the account of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. What is the pattern that we find throughout the gospel records? Well, the pattern is clear that Jesus Christ had a lowly birth, did he not? He was born in a manger. He was born to a lowly family. No doubt the seed of David, but a lowly family nonetheless. His birth was announced to lowly shepherds. He surrounded himself with lowly fishermen. He ministered among the lowly people. He was a friend of publicans and sinners, the Bible says. He had no place where to lay his head. He took special interest in those who were rejected of society. He himself, the Bible says, was a man rejected of men, a man of sorrow, he is called. Jesus himself declared that he was not come to be ministered unto, but to minister and to give his life a ransom for all. And so how fitting it is that he would first appear as resurrected to Mary Magdalene. May we always be reminded of the admonition of Galatians 6:3, which says, if any man think himself to be something when he is nothing, he deceiveth himself. I'd like to preach a message that I've entitled The First Witness of the Resurrection. As we think of Mary Magdalene, we're going to look here in John chapter 20. I'd like to notice really several things about her. First of all, we're going to note her agitation. She is no doubt, by all accounts, as we see, an agitated woman. And so were everyone, both the disciples and all the women at that time. But then we're going to look at her assurance. Something is going to change everything on that. In those moments of agitation, Jesus is going to speak to her and give her an assurance that no one else could give her. And lastly, we're going to look at her announcement. So let's consider, first of all, as we look at the scriptures, let's consider, first of all, in our text, her agitation. As we read our text, the text indicates to us that Mary was greatly agitated on that day. And by the way, anyone would be agitated as she was. We see her in John 20, verse 11. The Bible says, Mary stood without at the sepulcher weeping. Verse 13 says that when the angels which were in the sepulcher, they spoke to her, They asked the question, why weepest thou? And we know later in verse 15, Jesus, when he comes to her, he also asks her the question, why weepest thou? Now we may think of the weeping as, well, she was crying. No, the word weeping is really a strong word, which means to sob. It means to wail aloud. It is used specifically, that word weeping in the Bible is used specifically to make a distinction between weeping and crying. Weeping is wailing aloud, sobbing. Crying indicates to us that it is done silently. She is in turmoil and would have been, it is evident, by anyone beholding her. You would look at Mary, and the question twice at the onlookers is, why are you weeping? Why are you wailing? Why are you sobbing? Why do you have this outward show of distress? And it was visible. Well, as we look at our text, I think we can make certain conclusions as to why she was agitated. First of all, we might say that she was agitated by the atrocities of the crucifixion. You see, Mary Magdalene, along with other women, were bringing spices to anoint the body of Jesus Christ. The account in Mark 16:1 says, and when the Sabbath was passed, Mary Magdalene and Mary the mother of James and Salome had bought sweet spices that they might come and anoint him. And very early in the morning, the first day of the week, they came unto the sepulcher at the rising of the sun. Scripture also tells us in Luke chapter 24, verse 1 through 11, that those spices evidently had been not only bought, but they had been prepared. They would go through a ritual to put those spices together and those ointment to prepare it for the body of Jesus Christ. And as they prepared the spices, no doubt, what are they thinking about? Well, they were there. We know that the majority of the disciples forsook the Lord. They weren't there at the crucifixion, but the women were there. Mary Magdalene was there. She was an onlooker. She was there at the crucifixion. She heard the religious authorities mocking him. She heard and saw the Roman soldiers not only mocking him, but casting lots over his vesture. She saw his body that was marred. And if you know a little bit about the details of the crucifixion, she saw the Lord agonizing on the cross. As we think about the crucifixion, not only were his feet nailed and his hands were nailed, but the death of the crucifixion, most of those who would die on a cross would die of asphyxiation. They couldn't breathe anymore. His body had been so marred, remember, as all the wounds in his back is entirely opened and exposed. He was hanging there on the cross, and you can imagine that as his back was just basically a bunch of meat and blood just splattered everywhere. As he's leaning against the cross, he would have to pull himself by his arms to be able to pull himself up so he could breathe, scraping the entire back against the cross. You can imagine the agony that Mary Magdalene saw. The scene is vivid to her. She was there when Joseph of Arimathea took the body of Jesus Christ as his body was taken down. She was there when his body was wrapped in the linen and when his body was anointed with the spices. Typically, the spices were used against the body of Christ so that the linen would stick to his body. And so she was there when his body was placed in the tomb. She saw where his body had been laid, and she saw how his body was laid. When she goes to the sepulcher, she sees those two angels, the one at the head, the other one at the foot, because she knew where the body of Jesus Christ was placed. And so you can imagine here that Mary has been agitated. Remember that In Luke chapter 8, Jesus had cast out 7 devils from her. From that moment on, she gave her life to Jesus Christ to serve Him, to minister to Jesus Christ of her substance. She's not really mentioned a whole lot in the Gospel of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John until between Luke chapter 8 and the crucifixion. We don't really see a lot of Mary Magdalene, but nonetheless, she was there. And no doubt she has been agitated by the cross. The last few days, no doubt, have been painful to relive with these women who were there when Jesus died. Some of these women had also been to the sepulcher with Mary Magdalene. And so she was agitated by the atrocities of the crucifixion, and not just the atrocities, but there's something about not just suffering that is disturbing, but there's something that is even more disturbing, is that someone who is innocent would suffer in such a way. It's just completely unjust. She's agitated by the atrocities of the crucifixion. We might also say in our text that she was agitated by the activity at the sepulcher. In our text, as we read in John 20, verse 1, the Bible says, "The first day of the week cometh Mary Magdalene early, when it was yet dark, unto the sepulcher, and seeth the stone taken away from the sepulcher." Now, on their way to the sepulcher, they actually had discussed, the women between themselves, had discussed about the great stone. They said to themselves, "Who's going to move the stone for us?" In Mark 16, verse 2, the Bible says, "And very early in the morning, the first day of the week, they came unto the sepulchre at the rising of the sun, and they said among themselves, Who shall roll us away the stone from the door of the sepulchre? And when they looked, they saw that the stone was rolled away, for it was very great." Remember, they had been there when the body of Jesus was laid. No doubt they had seen the stone rolled to close off the sepulcher, to close off the tomb. And so they say to themselves on the way, they haven't even prepared. They don't know how they're going to get in and minister to the body of Jesus Christ. They don't know who's going to be there. By the way, they are not privy to the activity of the Roman soldiers that happened on the Sabbath day. They don't know that there's been soldiers guarding the tomb. They have no idea what's going to happen. They come with an expectation to put the spices on the body of Jesus Christ. They're expecting to see a tomb that has been sealed, that has not been opened, but they get there, and the stone has been rolled away. They were not planning in their mind to, when they get to the sepulcher, to observe any activity whatsoever. Evidently, Mary Magdalene was agitated at the sight because, as we read in our account in John chapter 20, evidently the women stay there. But Mary Magdalene in John chapter 20 and verse 2, when she saw the sepulcher, verse 2 says, "Then she runneth and cometh to Simon Peter and to the other disciple who Jesus loved." And so she understands, she gets to the scene, she's agitated already by the crucifixion, but now she is agitated by the activity at the sepulcher. She frantically leaves the scenes of the tomb to rush to tell Peter and John what had happened. She doesn't know really anything. She declares, notice, "They have taken away the Lord." That's what she says. She even says, "We know not where they have laid him." And what I'm saying to us here is that the resurrection doesn't seem to enter her mind. All she knows is that people took the body of the Lord, and she doesn't know where his body is. She is agitated. Agitated by the atrocities of the crucifixion, by the activity at the sepulcher, but also we might say in our text that she was agitated by the absence of the body. You see, we find Mary repeating this throughout our text in John 20. Mary is repeating herself in her agitation, which shows her agitation. John 20 verse 2 says, when she comes to Peter and John, she says, "We know not where they have laid him." In verse 13, when she is asked by the angels, "Why are you weeping?" she says, "Because they have taken away the Lord, and I know not where they have laid him. Same thing. I don't know where his body is. And then when Jesus, he doesn't know it's Jesus at the time, but he asks her, why is she weeping and whom does she seek? She says, tell me where thou hast laid him. She thinks that the gardener took the body of Jesus Christ. Where have you laid him? I will take him away. In other words, her agitation is this: where is the body? She is worried about where the body has been laid. She is found at the sepulcher weeping over the unknown location of the body of Christ. Again, we do not find her suggesting at any moment that the resurrection was a possibility. After all, Jesus had repeatedly told his disciples and those who followed him that after 3 days he would rise from the dead. You see, the agitation of the moment was not helpful. As a matter of fact, we might say that this announcement to everybody that she speaks to is a testimony of untruth. She really doesn't know. She's not declaring or intimating at the resurrection. She is agitated because she doesn't know where the body is. By the way, when you read the text, her agitation evidently only produced sadness. Her agitation also, if you notice in our text, made her ignorant. She is so consumed that she's not, by the way, it was when Mary Magdalene left the scene out of her agitation, she goes to Peter and John. That's when the angels appeared to the other women and told them that Jesus had risen from the dead. She missed that message because she was agitated. She is so agitated that her agitation made her ignorant. Her agitation also made her testimony untrue. But we also see that her agitation, we might say, further troubled the disciples. Now, by the way, lest we look down on Mary Magdalene, we could go to all of the other accounts of the other women and the other disciples and look at all their scenes immediately after the death of Christ, between the death and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Everybody is distraught. Everybody is defeated. Everybody is weeping. Jesus is gone. Remember the two disciples on the road to Emmaus. They speak in the past tense of Jesus Christ and they say, we had believed that it was He. So everybody is defeated. We see her agitation. What is it that makes a difference in her agitation? What is it, by the way, that may make a difference when we ourselves are agitated? And so we see not only her agitation, but now we come to her assurance. If you notice with me in our text in John 20, go down with me to verse 12. The Bible says, when Mary is standing weeping by the sepulcher, when she sees the two angels in white sitting, the one at the head and the other at the feet where the body of Jesus had laid, and they say unto her, woman, why weepest thou? She saith unto them, because they have taken away my Lord, and I know not where they have laid him. And when she had thus said, she turned herself back and saw Jesus standing, and knew not that it was Jesus. Now, I believe here the scene that we find when she turned herself, I believe here it's one of those glances, because we know later when Jesus speaks to her, the Bible says, then she turned. So when she, I believe it was just a glance, she saw somebody in the peripheral vision. She thought it was the gardener. She didn't look to identify the man. She was not looking for somebody that was alive. She was looking for a dead body. And so she glances at this man whom she perceives to be the gardener. And notice what the Bible says. Jesus saith unto her, woman, why weepest thou? Whom seekest thou? She, supposing him to be the gardener, saith unto him, sir, if thou have borne him hence, tell me where thou hast laid him, and I will take him away. We think about all those statements. First of all, she just assumes that this is the gardener. She assumes that now the gardener has actually taken the body. She asks the gardener to tell her where the body is, and then she thinks that herself, she's going to carry the body by herself. But verse 16, and Jesus saith unto her, and notice if you have a Bible with red letters, you'll see that
There's one part, it's in red, and it's one word. Mary. The Bible says she turned herself. That's why I don't believe she had examined the man and who he was, and she had looked at him intently and concluded it was the gardener. No, she had glanced at him, but she was still focused on the tomb, thinking about where the body was. But when she heard him say, Mary, she turned herself and said unto him, notice, Rabboni, which is to say, Master. Notice here, everything is going to change for Mary in just that moment. It was just one word that opened the eyes of Mary. It was when Jesus called her by name. Do you remember where this woman came from? She had been possessed with seven devils. She had been an outcast. She had not. She did not know what it was to be accepted until she had met Jesus Christ, who had made a difference in her life. When she heard her name spoken by the Lord, she immediately recognized who was speaking to her. Now we have the name, and we have it here in red. It's Mary. It's one word. But do we not think for just a moment that the way he said her name caused her to recognize that it was Jesus? You see, nobody said her name like Jesus did. All kinds of people called her Mary wherever she went. People would say, how you doing, Mary? How you doing? It's good to see you. We'll see you later, Mary. Mary Magdalene is what she's called. But when Jesus calls her name, that's different. When Jesus speaks to her, it's completely different. As a matter of fact, when she'd heard her name spoken by the Lord, she immediately recognized who was speaking to her. And when she turned, she responded also with one word. The Bible says, she says, Rabboni. Rabboni means master, teacher. The title actually was commonly given to Jewish teachers of the day. But here she ascribes to Jesus the highest honor. If you remember in John chapter 3, Nicodemus came to Jesus Christ and called him Rabbi. We see the disciples throughout their life. They called Jesus Master and Rabbi, Teacher. The crowd, even when he taught, they called him Master and Rabbi throughout his ministry. We know when Jesus Christ ended the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew chapter 7, verse 28, when Jesus had ended these sayings, the people were astonished at his doctrine. And the Bible says, for he taught them as one having authority and not as the scribes. When he opened his mouth, they said, he is authoritative. Later, the officers of the temple, when they're asked of the Pharisees to take Jesus Christ into custody, you remember what they say when they're asked, "What? Where is Jesus?" They said, never man spake like this man. You see, there was degrees of honor given to those who were teachers during the time of Christ. As a matter of fact, is you think about the first, they would call somebody who they would deem as a teacher, a master. In the lowest degree, they would call him a rab. Rab, teacher. But then there would be a next step. They would call a teacher in the sense of a title with a higher dignity, rabbi. They would say, my master. You had rab, you're a master, you're a teacher. Rabbi, you're my master, you're my teacher. I have high regard for you. But then there was another title that was given, and that was Rabboni, which is my great master. This is the most honorable title of all for a teacher. One commentator of the Hebrew tradition said this, that Rabboni, it was the highest title of honor attributed, usually to the president of the Jewish Sanhedrin, if he was a descendant of the school of Hillel. It means, my great master. When Jesus Christ spoke to her, she doesn't turn around and say, Rab, Master. She doesn't say, Rabbi, my master. She says, Rabboni, my great master, the one who deserves all honor above everyone else. Why is that so important to us? Because when Jesus Christ speaks, remember, He is the Word. He is the Word. In Luke 24, verse 5 through 8, the Bible says, as they were afraid and bowed down their faces to the earth, they said unto them, remember the angel speaking to the women, why seek ye the living among the dead? He is not here, but He is risen. And here's what they say, remember how He spake unto you when He was yet in Galilee, saying, the Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men and be crucified, and the third day rise again. And they remembered His words. In Matthew 28, verse 5 and 6, the angel answered and said unto the women, fear not ye, for I know that ye seek Jesus, which was crucified. He is not here, for He is risen, as He said. As He said, come see the place where the Lord lay. Jesus Christ, repeatedly, we could go, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, repeatedly Jesus Christ says, I must go to Jerusalem. I must be betrayed in the hands of sinners. I must be put to death, but after 3 days, I will rise from the dead. I went through all of those mentions in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and it is interesting to me that most of the time, the Bible makes a comment that the disciples just kind of ignore the statement. As a matter of fact, many times when Jesus Christ said that, they began to debate among themselves as to who was the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. They began to talk about who would sit at the right hand and at the left hand of Jesus Christ. And they completely missed the admonition that Jesus Christ was to die, be buried, and then on the third day rise again. And the emphasis of the angels when they speak to the woman is, that's what He said. And so understand, when Mary hears her name, when she hears Jesus Christ say her name, Mary, like nobody else says her name, her only response, the only thing she can say is, Rabboni. You who are not only the teacher, you who are not only the great teacher, but you who are the greatest teacher that's ever lived. You can imagine what comes to her mind as Mary recognizes that Jesus spoke the truth all along and that all that He said was true. Her mind may go back to John chapter 6, verse 48, when Jesus Christ said, I am the bread of life. Her mind may go back to John chapter 6, verse 51, when Jesus says, I am the living bread that came down from heaven. Her mind may go back to John chapter 8, verse 12, when Jesus says, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. Her mind may even go back to John chapter 8, verse 23, when she heard Jesus say, I am from above. Ye are in this world. I am not of this world. Her mind may go back to John 8, 28 when Jesus says, verily, verily, I say unto you, before Abraham was, I am. Her mind may go back to John chapter 9, verse 15 when Jesus says, I am the light of the world. Her mind may even go back to John chapter 10, verse 7 when Jesus says, I am the door of the sheep. Her mind may go back to John chapter 10 and verse 10 when Jesus says, I am come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. Her mind may go back to John chapter 10 verse 11 when Jesus says, I am the good shepherd and the good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. Her mind may go back to John chapter 14 verse 6 when Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. He that believeth, no man cometh unto the Father but by me. But most of all, she may remember what Jesus Christ said in John chapter 11 verse 20. When Jesus Christ declared, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. Jesus, as he introduced himself to John in Revelation 1:18, he introduces himself as this, I am he that liveth and was dead. And behold, I am alive forevermore. Amen. And have the keys of hell and of death. You see, when Mary in her agitation, she's agitated by the atrocities of the crucifixion.
She's agitated by the activity of the sepulcher. She's agitated by not knowing where the body of Jesus Christ is. Here is an agitated woman. The body is absent. She doesn't know what to do. And you know what brings comfort to her is when Jesus speaks her name. When he calls her by name. And when he calls her by name, she recognizes one thing. Here is the greatest teacher that's ever lived. The one who deserves the greatest honor. The one who must be listened to. The one who, by the way, is not just speaking the truth, but is truth himself. He is not a way, he is the way. He is not one who gives resurrection. He himself is the resurrection. And so Mary, in her mind, notice, here is how she perceived Jesus Christ in her agitation. She perceived Jesus Christ as a gardener. But now that she has assurance from the word of Jesus Christ, now she sees him as Rabboni. Let me ask you this. Are you agitated today? If you're agitated, you perceive the Lord, but your perception may be veiled and untrue. Why? Because you're not focused on the fact that he is Rabboni. That he is the greatest teacher. That his word have the answers. And when Mary comes to the realization that he has all the answers, she doesn't need to say anything. As a matter of fact, she doesn't speak again. She just says, Rabboni. Notice the Bible tells us, then Jesus says to her, touch me not, for I'm not yet ascended to my Father, but go to my brethren and say unto them, I ascend unto my Father and your Father and to my God and your God. And Mary Magdalene came and told the disciples. She doesn't speak to the Lord again. There's nothing to say. He has already spoken all that he's needed to speak. But it came true when it was personal to her, Mary. You see, the one thing about the Word of God is this, that yes, the Word of God is God speaking to men. But that means absolutely nothing until you recognize that God is speaking to me. He's speaking to me. If you see him as just speaking to men, great teacher, he's a rab. He's a rabbi. He says many wonderful things. That's wonderful for the world. But it can mean nothing to you personally until he is your Rabboni. The great and only most honorable master and teacher of all. So we see her agitation and her assurance, and I'm done. I'm just going to touch on this, but we see her announcement. We may contrast the two announcements of Mary that she made to the disciples. The first time was the announcement to Peter and John. And if you remember, back in verse 2, the Bible tells us, she runneth and cometh to Simon Peter and to the other disciple whom Jesus loved and saith unto them, notice, she is agitated. That's her announcement in her agitation. You see that? By the way, you know you're in a good position by what you say. How do you speak? She's agitated, so here's what she says. They have taken away the Lord out of the sepulcher. That's not true. Who's the they? That's nobody. We know not where they have laid him. Well, the truth is, he wasn't laid anywhere. You see, those statements only proceed from her agitation. It doesn't come from knowledge. It doesn't come from a message that she's heard from the angels at the sepulcher. It only comes by agitation. She comes to the wrong conclusion and she makes those announcements, by the way, which announcement only brings more despair. Something is happening and we have no idea what's going on in her agitation. But now that she has assurance, verse 18, here's the contrast. Mary Magdalene came and told the disciples that she had seen the Lord and that he had spoken these things unto her. What things? Well, the words of Jesus Christ on verse 17, so she probably rehearsed those words. Go to my brethren. By the way, as far as I can tell, this is the first time that Jesus Christ called his disciples brethren. You remember, Jesus Christ rose from the dead. Why? That he might bring many sons into glory. We are not only heirs of God, but we are joint heirs with Christ. The Spirit of God bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. That means we have an inheritance. What a wonderful thing. He says, go tell the disciples. Tell them. Tell my brethren. My brethren. Oh, what words of comfort that would bring to the disciples, and say unto them, I ascend unto my Father and your Father, and to my God and your God. And that is the message that Mary Magdalene brings. Can I bring you to the difference between the two announcements? The first announcement was the announcement that was made by her sight. She's agitated by the atrocities of the crucifixion, by the activity of the tomb, and by the disappearance of the body of Christ. That's all that she has seen. She is agitated by her sight. But do you notice when everything changed, when she has assurance? She has assurance when Jesus says, Mary, but can I encourage you? That was not sight. She was not looking at him. She found comfort in the word of Jesus Christ. She found comfort in the word himself when he said one word, Mary. And you know what happened in that moment? Faith. By the way, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And notice what faith produced. He's alive. He's alive! I've seen him, and here's the message that I have for you. What lessons do we have here for us? Are you agitated today? May I encourage you? You might be overly affected by what you see. You're overwhelmed by the things you observe, and you're consumed with the sight. But the child of God does not live by sight. The child of God lives by faith. But it's not just a faith that is a, oh, I have faith, I have faith. Most religions talk about faith and they have no idea what faith means. It's faith in the Word of God. It's not in something that is uncertain or that is abstract. It is something that is real and that is true. Amen. And when we exercise our faith, then our two things happen. Our agitation dissipates and our announcement changes. Two things happen by faith. Agitation dissipates and our announcement changes. That's what happened to Mary on the day of the resurrection.